Dobrodošli u najnoviju epizodu Nugget Srbija podcasta, specijalna epizoda na engleskom jeziku večeras. Najpre da predstavim ekipu sa naših prostora u studiju broj 1 večeras na lepom ostrvu Ugljan je Mislav. Dobroveče, Mici.
Dobroveče, dobroveče.
U studiju 2 u Beogradu u Lazovoj sobi je Milan.
Dobroveče, dobroveče svima, pozdrav.
I u nedavno restauriranom studiju broj 3 u Pančevu moje ime Miroslav. Sad ćemo da se prebacimo na engleski jezik da ne bismo Rajana previše unervozili. Okay, so we are switching now to English. We are really happy to be able to welcome Ryan Blackburn, the big stiff, the main guy on Denver Stiff's portal, and also the host of Pickaxe and Roll podcast, Daily Nuggets podcast. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys are doing some great work over here. It's been awesome to watch this group grow. You guys are doing great. So thank you for having me.
Oh, pleasure is all ours. Yeah. So Ryan, tell me, you are so young, but yet you're a veteran in Nuggets coverage already. Just like, you know, the young Nuggets core. Very young, but very, very experienced. Tell me, how did you start writing for the Denver Stiffs? And could you imagine while studying at the University of South Carolina, you would be taking over the Stiffs from Adam Mares as soon as you returned to Denver as a graduate?
Yeah, I started very early, like you said. Once I went to University of South Carolina in my first year there, I started really not. I was following the Nuggets before, but then I started writing about them. I was doing some commenting. I wrote for a different blog, and then one of the Stiff's writers, his name was Zach Mikosh. He reached out to me and said, "Hey, your writing is really good. We'd like to bring you on. Just try to bring you on and talk some Nuggets." And I was really happy at that point. It was one of my dreams. I didn't realize that writing could be a possibility when I started following sports, because I was always playing sports. I never really wrote about them. And then I started following this Nuggets team even more closely. One of the first things that happened when I was there was drafting Jamal Murray, at just kind of being a part of that group. And it really all spiraled into something very impressive from that point on. Nikola Jokic had already been a part of the team for 1 year, and everything was going that direction really, really well. And I was kind of working concurrent, like next to that, with my studies in South Carolina. And I just kept thinking to myself every time I was studying that I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to cover the Denver Nuggets back home. And so I made some moves to try to get back home. I started writing more and more. I started podcasting more and more. And ultimately, when my friend Adam decided he wanted to move on to DNVR, he reached out to me and said, "Hey, I think that you would be great to be a part of this group and to lead this group going forward for the Denver Stiffs." And I was scared because I was 22 years old at the time. I had no idea what was going to happen, but ultimately things have worked out. I'm 24 now, and just like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, I'm a young vet is how I would describe it.
Yeah. And tell me, before you started working on Nuggets Numbers, that was your first, author podcast you made. Who were your favorite podcasters back then and writers as well?
Oh, that's a good question. I grew up when I started podcasting, I always wanted to follow what Zach Lowe was doing. He was a guy who, for ESPN, who was just so knowledgeable at everything that he did, and was just he blew me away with his ability to kind of weave in basketball knowledge with numbers, with statistics. And that's really where my podcasting side came from. I wanted to be able to do that. I dabbled with statistics in college. I didn't know whether that was what I wanted to do, but I tried it, realized, okay, that might be a little bit too far. but I still like the numbers. I still like using that as a way to evaluate players and try to figure out what I'm looking at. And that is what really stood out to me, was you can do both. You can be a good basketball analyst while also focusing on the numbers. And so that's why I created Nuggets Numbers in the first place, was I found a couple of people, Zach Lowe, Daniel Lewis on our staff did a really good job of weaving in numbers. Of course, Adam has always done that really well, though he's broken more into film. All of these guys were able to do that, and it laid the groundwork for me to be able to do something similar.
And who would you say was mentoring you the most, you know, while you were starting?
Probably both Adam and Zach. Both of them had a large hand in my success at being at Denver Stiffs. And Adam was very much a editor in terms of that, and also Gordon, to be perfectly honest. All three of those guys, Adam Morris, Zach Mikosh, Gordon Gross, they were the start of the group that, while I was trying to figure myself out, while I was trying to become a better writer, become a better person, frankly, they were there to guide me every step of the way. So I would not be where I am without those three.
Yeah, that's a really cool squad to be mentored by. I remember when I first started really following the Nuggets back in 2015, the Denver Nuggets were the really first outlet I found, and I was really happy to see it, because you don't see that kind of coverage in Serbia. Well, probably not until we started our our job in Nuggets Serbia. But listening to Adam and Zach and Gordon and Daniel, and of course my guys Nick and Jeremy, that was a really, really great experience for us. And it was a torchlight in front of us for what we are trying to do these days. Okay, let's now move to the really unpleasant one pleasant topic we have for tonight, because it's an elephant in a room we have to address, and that's the fact that Jamal Murray got injured a week ago. And this injury was a big hit for all of the Nuggets fans. But I feel you really took it hard, since you have a kind of a connection with him. Being one guy in Nuggets media, I can absolutely 100% claim that you never doubted him for a second since he came to the Nuggets.
Yeah, it really hurt. It was one of those things where you follow a guy, and I wrote about this shortly after he got injured, that I had first seen him at South Carolina. When he was at Kentucky as a freshman, I was at South Carolina as a freshman. And so I was in the stands starting to get involved with the basketball program, but I watched him put on a show and just absolutely annihilate the South Carolina team. He dunked on somebody. It was very impressive. And then when I started getting into Denver Stiffs, he started getting with the Denver Nuggets, and we both kind of had our come up, our entrance into Denver sports culture at the same time. And obviously his is way more impactful, but I could feel in a small semblance a connection with him. And then as we both started getting more comfortable with the situation, as I started getting more comfortable with my job, being around more, he and I started talking. And he's a very interesting player. He's a very interesting person. He's very knowledgeable, and he cared about my opinions. He's one of the only players that I can genuinely say that about. So he's a really cool dude, and watching him go down like that was gut-wrenching. It was very painful, and I had never felt like that about any player going down before. Even when Kevin Durant went down in the finals, which I think everybody kind of had a painful reaction to, I had never felt that way about a player going down due to injury like that before. So it was very weird. I have since recovered. He's doing all right. They're everybody's doing okay. It's just an injury, but he'll be back. He'll be stronger than ever. I have no doubt about that.
And what would you say the Nuggets will miss the most from him? Is it his offensive game or his defensive game now when you see the roster rolled out without Gary Harris these days?
It's fascinating because I think you now see without Jamal, without Gary, that there's definitely a weakness in the backcourt defensively. Just having more players to defend guys and so different players can focus on different assignments. You don't like those guys may not be massively better defenders than what the Nuggets had, but everybody's job just gets that much harder now. And so I think there is something to be said for that. However, I am going to say the offensive side of things, because as we've seen with Denver before, Nikola Jokic has to do so much, and there's only so much that he can do, and he will continue to push the boundaries of what a reasonable human being can do. But having Jamal Murray was one of his greatest assets, was one of his greatest strengths on the offensive side, and the way that those two play together was a very important thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Nikola can operate with Michael Porter, with Will Barton, guys like that. But not having Jamal there, that was the rock-solid foundation that they had in last year's playoffs.
Okay. We will speak more about big picture things during the podcast, but we will wrap it into some small segments where we like to do on our podcast. So the first segment for tonight is the lie detector.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. I will give you one claim and you guys will tell me if it is a lie or if it's true. So this is the first one. I will be speaking a lot about the last 8 games of Nuggets basketball because this is basically the Jamal basketball without Jamal. He only had one game during that span. And during this 8 game span, Michael Porter was shooting almost 7 threes per game at 37% efficiency. Will Barton was shooting 5 threes a game at almost 44% efficiency. And then Faku was shooting 4 threes a game, and that fact wasn't welcomed with open hands. Everybody thinks Faku should not be shooting as many threes. But he was actually shooting 50% of these threes during the 8-game span. So is this a new reality? Is this something he's been working with the Nuggets coaching staff? Or is this just a small sample lie? Let's start with Milan on this.
This is definitely the new reality, and it must be. You know, they will leave him open, and he need to shoot and score on that. We saw the last game. He I think he scored 2 or 1 threes against the Grizzlies, and he needs to continue to shooting. You know, if he don't, Nuggets will be in problem. So I think it's a new reality, definitely.
Mislav, what do you say?
New 50%. Reality. New reality. Faku is the Euro South American king. We all love him, and we love that the Americans are finally seeing what beast he really is. Although some national media, like Mismatch Podcast and others, don't recognize it. But his impact is so much bigger than what the numbers say. But anyways, to get back to the question, yes, I believe Faku will keep hitting bigger numbers of threes because he's been working on his three-point shooting. It's a big difference between FIBA three-point line and NBA three-point line. And he is finally, let's not forget, he is 30 years old, but he is a rookie. So let's give him time to grow. And his time has come.
Okay, Ryan, do you have a cold shower for us?
No, actually, I like what he has done. First, Mislav, I want to say on the Mismatch podcast, Chris Vernon, he covers the Grizzlies, so I think he's just bitter that Faku did such great things against Ja Morant. It was very funny to listen to that podcast. I did enjoy that one. But on Faku, he one of the his best strength on offense is passing. It always will be. It always will be setting the team up. Sometimes when he doesn't, when he doesn't have the ball, he has to be able to shoot. He has to be able to, when he's off ball, when he's not handling, he has to be able to hit those shots. And so I did like what I saw from him for most of the previous games. I think what he has to do, especially when he's with the starting group, is he has to know that there are some great players next to me who are shooting the ball really well too. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter, Will Barton, all three of those guys have shot the ball really well, and they are out there to shoot. So he has to understand and kind of balance between those two. I think there were times in the Grizzlies game specifically where he was shooting a little bit too much. However, I like it. I like that he has that confidence, and that will help the Nuggets going forward.
I want to add for Okay.
I just wanted to ask Ryan, because one thing I've noticed, so many teams and so many players are shooting career highs in 3-point percentage this season. Do you think it's because of the lack of the audience, or is it just the complete, emphasizing the 3-point shooting on training?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think that what we saw from the bubble, where they didn't have as many fans there, those shooting numbers went up as well. And that was in the playoffs. That was in a very high pressure situation. We saw Jamal, and we saw guys like Donovan Mitchell and Tyler Hero for the Miami Heat and guys like that. They shot the lights out. So I tend to think that there is something to just not having fans. However, the fans are coming back. We will see how that goes, and whether with all of these arenas being filled up now, that changes. I'm at least curious to see. I just think that the players are getting better and better than ever before, and they're prioritizing those things. And guys like Joe Ingles from on the Utah Jazz, he's shooting the lights out right now because he's just perfected it over a long period of time. That's how these guys are. They know what they have to do. And I think that just given the time, given the ability to shoot as much as they are, they're going to get even better.
Yeah, sorry, I wanted to add about Faku. I have a wish for him to score 10 points a game, 2 out of 4 three-pointers, and then 4 out of 4 free throws. And the way he will get those free throws is to go go for a layup, and then he knows he will get the block, so he just waits for the defender to come, and then he will, get the 2 free throws. So I really love about him how he totally quit about trying to make a layup. He's just waiting to be fouled, and that's a great way to do it. So 4 free throws, 2 triples, enough points for Faku, I would say, in a game.
I love it.
Yeah, he really is really, really skilled. It's just that he needs to overcome so much athleticism and so much, length in the league today. Okay, my second claim, the second thing I want to check on the lie detector. During this same 8-game span, Nikola Jokic have averaged a triple-double, much like in January at the start of the season. This is what I'm claiming. He's going to have to average the triple-double for the rest of the season for Nuggets to have a shot at the third seed. Let's start with Ryan.
It's an interesting way to frame it. I don't think he needs to do anything specifically numbers-wise in order to do it. I just think he needs to be the best he's ever been. And he's a guy who he will rise to the occasion in those situations, whether it's as a scorer, whether it's as a passer, whether it's as a defender. He has shown time and time again that he is able to just continue to do great and amazing things. So whether that's averaging a triple-double, then that's what he's, if that's what he has to do, then he will do it. If that's what the Nuggets decide that they want to go for, getting the 3 seed, then we will see. And if they can do that, it will be incredible, because I've looked at some of the numbers there, and it is going to be a challenge, I think, to be able to get up that high. But if any team can do it, it would be the tough and resilient Denver Nuggets and a tough and resilient Nikola Jokic.
Milan?
I agree with Ryan, but because Jokic will be the best he can, in order to for him to average triple double, that means that other players need to shoot well the ball and use the open looks he gives them. So that's not entirely upon him, you know. So basically, I think Jokic will give everything he had in these last 15 games, I think. Yes, 15. So, you know, tonight will be fun game to watch. If Denver wins tonight, I think we are going for that third seed, definitely.
Do we have any news on Nurkic and Lillard for tonight?
I think Lillard will play for sure.
Okay, Mislav.
Yep.
No, I would say no. I would say that's a lie. I would say he will not average triple double because his teammates will not make 10 shots per game all the time. I think they will miss one or two in average. But I think his points per game will grow, like we've seen the last game against Memphis. I think there will be a lot of more games where Jokic needs to show his scoring dominance. And that's good for the case for the MVP, but that's the topic for the future segments. So I would say no triple-double average, but higher points average.
Okay, so now my next thing, and I think it's the most important we will be talking tonight, is Jokic winning the MVP this season the biggest headline the Nuggets can hope for this season? Mislav, what do you see? What do you think?
Sorry, I was reading the comments. Jokic winning the MVP is the biggest headline the Nuggets can hope for this season. No! Because you know what will be the bigger headline? When we win the title without Jamal Murray.
Mislav, I love your energy, my guy.
You stole my great bandit, man.
You need to wait for my segment. You will love it, literally.
Milan, what do you say?
Ah, he stole my take as always. I don't think it's MVP will be the biggest. I really hope they will at least repeat the last season success. So minimum conference final and MVP, of course, combined, that will be the biggest headline of the season. And if we go into the finals, we are going all in. You know, we are winning West if we come to the finals of the conference. Okay. Of course.
Ryan, you need to top this, right?
Oh, I don't know if I can top title. That would be pretty impressive. They're the champions of the world, and maybe they're just the champions of all sports. That would be great. No, I don't think that they can win a title, and because I think very highly of Jamal Murray and what he has done, and just kind of know how these things go from the regular season to the playoffs. What I do think that they could do that people aren't necessarily – like people are counting out a little bit. If they do play the Los Angeles Lakers, they still have Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic in a very athletic, very versatile front line that is probably the best front line that the Los Angeles Lakers will have to face in the playoffs. So I think the Nuggets, that if they were to upset the Los Angeles Lakers – a full-strength Los Angeles Lakers team that has LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and all of those guys, that would be incredible. That would be a really big storyline, especially here domestically.
Hey, I want to add one more answer, if I may.
Yeah.
You asked about the biggest headline would be if Nuggets, if Jokic can win the MVP. This will not be a headline. Nobody cares. It will be like on the last page of the newspapers, like between the sex phone ads, you know. Because if Jokic wins the MVP, I think he will not get as much more respect as he deserves. I think the MVP award in 2021 will get less respected than usually. People would blame it on the pandemic and COVID protocols and blah, blah, blah. But I honestly think if somebody else wins this MVP award, they would like, oh, look at him. He managed to stay healthy during the COVID, during the pandemic, during COVID protocols. You know, others didn't do that. But if Jokic wins it, it will be, it was just because of COVID and the weird season and blah, blah, blah. So we will not get the headline. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Pain.
Finishing on a really low note.
Yeah.
Started with the championship and then completely dropped. Okay, now it's time for Mislav to shine. Please explain this.
So, Mislav, my name is Mislav, and you know, when I was trying to explain to foreigners how my first name is like spelled, and I would say like, okay, when I'm not there, you miss me. When I'm there, you love me. Although most of them think the opposite, but never mind. So anyway, I will give you hot takes, and then you need to say if you love my take or you think my take is a miss. So let's start off with the first question. So Shaq Harrison is giving me mixed Gary and Tory vibes. First of all, let's call him Gory. Anyway, so my hot take here is Gory will have a major impact in at least one tough playoff win. So what do you say? Is this take going to be a miss or do you love this take?
Nope. You guys want me to start?
Yep.
Yeah, it's for you. It's made for you.
Okay. I gotcha. I'm going to say miss because I think that they just picked up another guard who may play over him. They just signed another guard to a 10-day contract in Austin Rivers, who may be replacing that impact player that you're talking about here. Just a little bit more offense, a little bit more shooting, a little bit more creation with the ball in his hands. I do love the name Gory, as odd as it is. But I think that if Denver's going to go with a defensive-minded guy, it'll be my guy from South Carolina, PJ Dozier.
PJ, we didn't hear composure in some time, so I hope we'll start to call him like that. Anyways, but what do you say about comparison, like giving the vibes of both Gary and Tory? Do you also feel that?
I can definitely see that. He defends really, really well. He moves his feet really well. He's very athletic, very quick, very smart. And I like that. I like that about him. He's a guy who I hope that they keep him around because he has great habits. He does a lot of things hustling wise that a guy like Faku does. And Shaq Harrison does it at Gory. Does it for at 6'4" and is a little bit more versatile with his size. So I like it. I think that he does a lot of great things there.
I would tell you one thing. If he played two more games well, like he played against Grizzlies, we all know Malone. Shaq will be like this in rotation. So
too true.
So Milan, your answer is that you love my take, right?
Yep.
And Miroslav, what do you say?
I really like Shaq Harrison. I really like what I saw from him in these limited minutes we've been able to see him. I like his toughness. I like, as Ryan said, he really has a really good footwork. So it's really possible what Milan said, that Mike Malone will actually like Shaq Harrison much more than Austin Rivers. But we'll see. I'm pretty sure Austin will get his good fair chance in the next 10 days before his 10-day contract expires to see if they want to continue with it. And Shaq Harrison is here to stay, I'm guessing. I don't think that contract will be terminated before the end of the season. So I think it's possible, especially because Denver really, really lacks depth in the guard position. So I don't know if he will be in the position to decide a playoff game, but you know, to be, I don't know. I'm thinking about possible series against Utah Jazz. You really need some quick, strong guards that are able to guard all of those Utah guards. So, yeah, I can see him playing spot minutes in playoffs, but I have to say it's a miss because I don't think he will you know, change the direction of a game. Sorry.
You will see. I have it here. I took a million talents to read the future, and I see Shaq giving us a great defensive play to end the game. Anyways, on to our next question. So this is our psychic Milan when he tells us the future. Anyway, so without Jamal, some other Nuggets will have to step up and hopefully keep that level of play even when Jamal comes back. So my hot take here is the Nuggets will be better all in all when Jamal comes back more than they would be if he never got injured. Is this miss or you love it? So let's start with Miroslav.
Oh, shit. So I think it's a miss because, you know, when you lose continuity, you just don't get the chance to progress as fast as it would be possible if you have the continuity. I'm talking about Jamal. Yes, sure, Michael Porter will get more responsibility in the game right away, which wouldn't happen had Jamal stayed healthy. But I think Michael Porter would get there anyway. As who said that a couple of days ago? It was Bill Simmons that said that Michael Porter should thank God every day because he plays with Nikola Jokic, with the guy that can unlock him like nobody else in the world could. So this is why I think this take really is a miss. We would get there anyway. Having said that, I think Nuggets getting Jamal back at the end of next season as a free agent, signing like a buyout market great player will make them incredibly strong for the next playoffs for sure.
Milan?
I will say it's a miss too. You know, Jamal started playing great, Porter started playing great, finally found his role. You know, he doesn't force any, he wasn't any force, he played in the great pace. Now the shift has shifted, everything shifting. He now need to force because when nothing goes in the right way, he need to shoot over the players. We all know he can do that, but we all know he can make some not such a great plays. I know that best. So, you know, I yeah, that's the right one. Yeah. So basically, I think it's a miss. We will miss Jamal really, really, really much in this playoff. Next season, you know, I hope he will be back. He will get back better than ever. So, you know, we will see. But I think it's a miss.
Ryan, please save me.
Mislav, I'm going to save you. I'm going to say I love it. And not because, like, I am the biggest Jamal fan of anybody, believe me. But one thing that's going to really help this Nuggets team is for Michael Porter Jr. to take those next steps. And this is one of those next steps where he had to learn at the beginning of this year just how not to mess up. Then he had to learn while Jamal was doing well, while Nikola was doing well, he had to learn how to be a great third option. Now and going into next season, he'll have a full playoff run too, where he has to learn how to be the second option and he has to go through all of those trials and be able to be a better player because of it. In addition, Nikola has to learn how to trust him. He has to learn how to fully unlock him and be willing to put the ball in his hands at times, because that's going to make the Nuggets a better basketball team, a more dangerous basketball team overall. So when you have Jamal, when he comes back, you'll have Aaron Gordon. He'll have a full year of being integrated into this team. You'll have Michael Porter. He'll have basically a full year of being the second option. Now Jamal, all he has to do is just provide the final burst the final little push to put this Nuggets team over the top. I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how he, how Jamal responds to that, how he gets back. But if I know anything about him, it's that he will just try to fit in. He'll try to help this team win a championship. He won't try to push any buttons. And if Michael Porter Jr. is averaging 25 points at that point, which is very possible, I think we could see something very special from the Nuggets next year.
Thank you. Thank you. We are looking at, we are finding the silver lining. You know, it's not a great situation, but let's try to make it into a positive. Our little Nuggets will grow because they have to. You know, this thing, one thing I noticed, where there is a big trade and then like half of your team is gone and then the other half that you're expecting still didn't arrive. And then somehow you think those players on your team will lose because like half of them are gone. But those players, end of the bench players, they find the strength and they start playing. You know, they're all professional NBA basketball players. They know what they're doing and sometimes they just need a chance. So let's just remember the Magnificent Seven in Utah. I mean, Vlatko Čančar, like MVP performance. I believe in our guys, and I believe they will grow and stay there, and then they will get back Jamal, and let's hope he can stay at least on the same level, if not more. So that's it. We can go to the next question. The next hot take is... Jokic Barton two-man game with MPJ waiting in the corner for the open three is going to be unstoppable in the clutch time in the playoffs. Is it a miss or is it a love? So, who wants to go first? Milan, you didn't go first. It's your turn now.
Okay, it's a love from me. If Barton know if Barton know how to decide to pass the ball in the right time. You know, he has really struggled with the layups this season. And when he decides to pass first, that combo is deadly. That combo is deadly. We saw in the last game against Grizzlies. So love for me. I really hope Barton will step up in the playoff. 2 years in a row we miss him in the playoffs. So this is his redemption year. And I really hope the Nuggets fan will stop hate on him.
Oh, that's the hottest take ever. Ryan, what do you say?
I think I'm going to say miss, but I will leave it open kind of for interpretation here, because unstoppable is basically how Jamal Murray was in Utah and against Utah in the bubble, and how Denver was in game seven when they had that perfect two-man game with Jokic and Murray working. And that was just the pinnacle, I think, of Nuggets basketball. I don't think it's going to be quite like that. I don't think it'll really be fully close to that. I also think that they're going to have to incorporate Michael Porter more than just being in the corner, like as an off-ball guy. Because I think that while Barton has been impressive in certain instances, there are times where he makes a little bit of an extra move here or there and tries to do a little bit too much, like Milan was saying. He misses at the rim a little bit, and that could ruin a possession here or there. And so if it's at that point, not quite unstoppable, but I'm open to being wrong.
Yeah, it's a two-edged sword, so, you know.
Well, right now, this pick and roll with Barton and Jokic with Porter in the corner is the best option Mike Malone had for the last match, having Monte Morris also not available for the match. And I have to say one thing about Will Barton. He's today a better player than 3 years ago. But problem with his athleticism is that he is much less athletic than 3 years ago before the core injuries struck him. So that's the reason why he had been really ineffective near the basket. He has really low percentages in the paint, really low percentage in the floater area near the rim. So if he could, just now heal himself and become as athletic as he was 3 years ago, that would really be an unstoppable combination. So this will not be unstoppable because of this fact. It's sad that Michael Porter doesn't have enough time until the playoffs to really develop his handling. We had a really great comment here from who was it? Let me try to find it. About Porter handling the ball. Once he improves his handling, I don't know, he will become Kevin Durant. I mean, what more should Michael Porter do beside his handle and, you know, his pass reception to become a new Kevin Durant? And when that happens, watch out, world. So it's a miss for right now, but next season, even before Jamal returns, I think that Denver will already have the unstoppable combination.
If we had Barton in our team next year.
No, I meant with Michael Porter, not with Barton.
Okay.
Yeah, Barton is playing like two steps back and then three steps forward, and that's the good version. So, yeah, I understand, but these takes need to be hot and need to be positive. So I'm just here for you guys to put me down or sometimes agree with me. But never mind, we're done with this question. Are we ready to go for the next one?
Yes, before we... Yeah. Oh, you have another one. Sorry.
Of course. Okay. So we've seen in the Orlando game that our boy, Mr. 50, can score. But we didn't see that much in other games. I guess he was scoring more because he was playing against his former team. But he didn't score by himself. He was scoring because the Nuggets' offensive plays were kind of designed for it. So my hot take here is Aaron Gordon's numbers could be higher, I mean points, and more valuable to the team as whole if the Nuggets design more plays like that for him. So, who wants to... Aaron, start.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll say love on that one. I definitely think that they could stand to work him in a little bit more. They run Adam's favorite play, C corner, for him all the time. And he does a really great job with that one, where he starts in the corner, gets the back screen along the baseline from the point guard, and then gets into the lane so that Nikola Jokic can pass him the ball and make an incredible pass once again. Aaron Gordon's game is even better than that. And there are a lot of different ways to use him. I think they should put the ball in his hands a little bit more. I think that they could definitely stand to use him as a guy in the pick and roll. Like if they want more action with Aaron Gordon, they should have him screen for Nikola Jokic even more, because Nikola Jokic right now is the best pick and roll playmaker on the Nuggets. And I think that there is something to be said for having him be ready, Nikola Jokic, that is, to then feed Aaron Gordon at the rim, because that's the best place for him to be. He hasn't shot the ball really well, so they get him at the rim, good things will happen.
Easy bucket.
Love, Miller. love from me, definitely. But we missed the Ryan said he got a lot of screens and easy basket. But guys, we missed the player who put the best screen for Gordon in all these matches, Jamal Murray. He is strong. And he was the one who was setting up those screens for Aaron Gordon. I don't think Faku can do it. I don't think Monty is strong, but I don't think he can do that. They definitely need and must made some plays for Aaron, because we need to use that guy. You know, he is Aaron Gordon. Come on, guys, we need him. And we need him in his best, at his best for the playoffs. So love for that. And it must be love. It must happen.
Miroslav.
Well, it's really not a binary kind of question, but you will, of course, insist on the miss or love answer. Thing about Aaron Gordon that surprised me the most I have to be honest, because I didn't watch a lot of him back in Orlando. He has a really high basketball IQ, and he fitted like a glove in the Nuggets offense, which was a really big surprise to me. So having said that, you know, if he would be playing more in the dunker position, I think that you could not call that, you know, scripted offense for Aaron Gordon in particular, but he would thrive in that position as well, because we've seen he is one of few Nuggets rotation players that's not excelling in three-point shooting right now. Maybe he will improve by the end of the season. So hopefully, if he doesn't stay so much in the corners, but play closer to the rim, he will have more easy scoring opportunities. But I will say this at the end, this is I love this take, because we really need his points. Somebody needs to jump in and give us back those 20 points we had from Jamal Murray. So okay, Porter will move like 5 points north. Jokic will move another 5 points north. We need another 10 points from our guys, whether it's Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, Monte Morris, Facu Campazzo, whoever. We need those 20 points by the committee.
So when you say north, but what if the earth is flat, Miroslav? Where is the north then?
we need to wait for Kyrie Irving to be on our podcast to elaborate that. Yeah.
Okay, so the segment is over. I just have one quick question for Ryan before we continue with Miroslav segments. So can Bol Bol ever become anything more than a garbage time MVP or league pass favorite? Do you think he can thrive in like another place or something?
It's really tough because he sort of plays the role that you like Michael Porter Jr. playing, right? Like a guy who is a very tall shooter, can take the guy off the dribble a little bit, is just a big time scorer who can get the buckets here or there. While Michael Porter Jr. has really flourished, it's been too bad that Bol Bol hasn't been able to get those opportunities, because they need that stability behind Porter. And that's what a guy like Paul Millsap has been there for. Jamichael Green, those guys have been very stable. You know exactly what you're going to get from them. Next year, Paul Millsap is, I mean, we'll see what happens, but it wouldn't surprise me if Paul Millsap wasn't back. It wouldn't surprise me if Jamichael Green wasn't back. So you're probably going to get Bol Bol. You're probably going to get Zeke Nnaji. There are other guys that I think it's going to be interesting to see how Denver handles next offseason. Probably not going to happen this year, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Bol Bol was in the rotation next year.
Okay, Miroslav. Continue.
Yeah, before we continue, I have to ask Ryan. We had a great question from Brad from London, our good friend Brad. How is your Serbian speaking progressing? Do you have do you have any intention in going Serbian in the future?
Vam. That's all I've got. That's all I've got. I'm doing my best, but I appreciate you guys having me on. Hvala vam.
Okay.
I'm sure I butchered the accent as well there.
Yeah, you did.
But it's okay. It's okay.
You are good. You are good.
We understood.
That's so sad.
Okay. For the end of this show, I've prepared a new edition of the mystery player game. And this was inspired by Ryan's game he made some time ago on the Nuggets Numbers podcast, when he would choose certain numbers for certain Nuggets players and ask his guests to guess. And because he's the master of numbers, I needed to make this one really complicated.
Okay.
So all the stats we will be seeing now are only for the last 8 games of Nuggets basketball, so not for the whole season.
Okay.
Let me just take this off. Yeah. So because Ryan is really elite at this, he will have the last pick. The last chance to answer. There are 6 clues for every player, so everybody will have 2 shots at the mystery player. Mislav, you will start.
Cory Brewer.
Sorry. Okay, so player number one. He is 12th in three-point attempt per 36 minutes at 3.0. So this is only for the last 8 games. So three guys didn't attempt a three at all. So this guy is 12th out of those guys that have attempted the three.
Per 36 minutes.
Per 36 minutes.
You love to sauce it with... it's always something tricky. Let's say Shaq Harrison.
Shaq Harrison is the wrong answer. Milan.
I'm going to go with PJ. PJ Deuter.
No. Wait for second clue.
I don't need it.
Don't waste your chance.
Come on, man.
Before you get more info. Okay.
Aye.
He is the only player still on the roster with zero total assists in the last 8 games. I said this because this also counts for Gary Clark, who is no longer on the roster.
With us.
I'm going to go with Bol Bol.
Bol Bol is the correct answer. Milan, the master of mystery player.
Oh, I love it.
So what I found interesting about this, so he is first in usage at 31% in the last 8
games. He gets those shots up.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care, really.
Garbage. He's also second
in pace at 114. He is second in points per 36 at 26.7.
Oh, my God.
And his last name has the same number of letters as the first name. Okay.
But I would expect that he has more three-point shots per 36 minutes. Like, whenever there is a highlight of Nuggets international media, it's ball knocking down triples. So.
Yeah, I was hoping that would be misleading, you know, because it feels like he's shooting threes all the time. But he's really only shooting three per 36 minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting piece of stat. Okay.
That's a great stat right there, that first one. I had no idea. I was going to go with somebody like probably Zeke Nnaji or somebody like that, but it Bol Bol, very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, now the mystery player champion Milan will have his first chance.
Okay.
Player number 2. This player is second to last in field goal percentage between 5 and 9 feet at only 16.6% among players to attempt a shot there in the last 8 games. So not everybody attempted a shot from that range, but this guy is second to last among those who have attempted it.
How much is that in meters?
Yeah, it's between... 1.5 meter and 3 meters, more or less, 2.7.
I'm going to go with Will.
Will Barton.
Yeah.
Is the wrong answer.
Okay.
Second clue is for Ryan. This guy is fifth in assist percentage at 15.8%. For comparison, Jokic has 46%. Of all assists when on court. So this guy is fifth.
Okay. It's not one player that I was thinking of. Let's go with Marcus Howard.
Marcus Howard is a really interesting thought, but it's the wrong answer. I think he's way lower on that list. I don't think he assists that much.
I have to double check that.
Just to be frank. Okay, Mislav, third clue. This player is second to last among players to record an offensive rebound at offensive rebound percentage at 2.1% in the last 8 games.
Before that, I wanted to say PJ Dozier, but I remember he had a big offensive rebound in the last game. I hope it was not his only one. Okay, so between five. second to last. MPJ.
Oh, man.
MPJ is not the correct answer. We're going back to Milan. This player is first in three-point percentage at 61.5% for the last 8 games. So we know it's not Facu because he is on 50%.
Jamichael Green.
Jamichael Green is the wrong answer.
Come on, man.
Now we are going back to Ryan. Now this becomes easier. He is third in assist to turnover ratio at 2.57.
Oh man, I really should know. I feel like I should know this.
For the last 8 games.
Yeah. I definitely should know this. And these are such great clues, Miroslav. Like these are not things I think, like, as I never think about it in the 2-week segments like this. This is very interesting.
I had to become really nasty for you. Sorry.
Thank you. It's not Paul. I don't think. You know what? Let's go PJ. let's just go PJ and get him out of there.
Yes. PJ is not the correct answer. And now Mislav has the toughest clue yet. The final one. He is the Count of Monte.
Oh, come on, man.
Assisto.
I would say it's Marcus Morris.
No, this is the wrong answer. This is the wrong answer. Marcus. Sorry, you only have one try. Only one try.
Oh, embarrassing. I'm sad.
Yeah, what is really interesting about this, he's really inefficient from 5 to 9 feet in the last 2 weeks. But the thing about it is, you know, it's just a really, really small sample. So it's really noise.
This assist to turnover ratio at 2.57 is low for him. That was
It is. Actually, number one is Nikola Jokic. Number two is Facu Campazzo for the last 8 games. So it's just
three-point percentage. I forgot that he had that game where he went 5 for 5. That was that definitely propped him up for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Small sample. Okay, player number 3 for the end. Now we will start with Ryan. So this will probably be extra nasty.
Oh, good.
Great.
Okay, player number 3. He has shot 22.2% for 3 in the last 8 games. He is 9th in 3-point percentage on the team with 22.2. I will tell you there are only 2 players with lower percentage that actually hit a 3.
Okay. You know, thinking back on it, the last one, I shouldn't have guessed PJ because he hadn't shot that high. Let's go PJ Dozier for this one.
PJ Dozier, I hope I remember what I put here, but I think PJ Dozier is not the correct answer. Hopefully he's not the correct answer.
I mean, who can find these stats to check? Like, I just have to believe you blindly.
Yeah, go with the flow. Mislav, he has had the least number of total steals among players to play in more than 40 minutes in the last 8 games.
In total, 40 minutes?
Total 40 minutes, yeah.
Who is not a thief? Who doesn't steal? I don't know. I want to go with Gordon because you always find some weird stats. So I would say Gordon.
Yes. Aaron Gordon is not the correct answer. Milan, let's continue. He had been fourth in usage at 23.4%.
Zeke
Nagy is not the correct answer. Moving on to Ryan. Last chance for you, Ryan, to really shine in this game.
Oh, no.
He had been last in pace at 95.35 in the last 8 games.
Okay. Paul Millsap.
Paul Millsap is the correct answer. Correct answer, Ryan has.
That second one is then how?
Yeah, this is what I aim to find something really stupid.
It cut off guys like JaVale McGee and Zeke Naji and guys like that. That's a really good one. That's a good one, Miroslav.
you have to do it. You have to do it like that. Yeah. So last piece of clue was that he is last in minutes per game among regular rotation players at 15 minutes. I think that was also really easy to guess. It was Paul Millsap. Okay, enough of me toying with you guys. Okay, so at the very end, Ryan, can you tell me what are your and Denver Steve's immediate plans? Can we expect more podcasts on Denver Steve's podcast network next to Jenna's Chicken Nuggets?
We have talked about it. We have discussed it, and there are other things that we're working on. We did the live show with Locker Room a couple times that I think I'm going to try to do more of, and then maybe post those onto the Denver Stiffs feed. There are talks between myself, Brandon, and Jenna about potentially doing a show, and I think that would be pretty fun. But beyond that, we're still searching. We're still just trying to iron out the details, and I'll definitely let you guys know. We are excited. Ever since I moved over to Pickaxe and Roll, and Zach retired from the Denver sports media scene, we've been trying to fill the gap. So we're doing our best over here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, this is only
No, I don't think so. I think we're gonna say no to Brian, but I heard he did a podcast with Mike Singer earlier today that I'll have to check out.
Yeah, I mean,
this is only the second time Zach Mikash have retired from Denver Steves. So if Michael Jordan could return for the third time, we can expect Zach again. Well, at least one can hope. Okay,
third time's the charm.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Let's hope it's not the Washington Bullets, Jordan. You know, it's just, or was it? What was it? Wizards. What was the name of the franchise?
Wizards.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Ryan, for your time. Yeah, Mislav, you wanted something else.
Before we end, I would like to ask Ryan about how was it for the goat herself to praise you on the Twitter, Doris Burke. How did that happen? Can you tell us the interaction?
It's funny. First of all, it was great. It was unbelievable, and people really blew up about it too. It was very cool. But she told me in a direct message after the fact that, hey Ryan, I meant to send this as a direct message to you, but I accidentally posted it publicly. I mean everything that I said, but I just wanted to tell you here. So I thought that was really funny. But the funny thing is, that's the way that it perfectly works out, because she meant it genuinely, wanted to post it privately, but accidentally posted it publicly for the entire world to see. It was very funny. I really appreciate it. She's great.
Boomers on the internet. Perfect.
That's a top level boomer move. Yeah. Thank you, Doris. Thank you, Doris. We love you. Okay, Ryan.
Great.
I really appreciate you taking your time to join our show, and I hope we will be able to welcome you on our show before this season ends. Let's do another one before the big finals against the Nets, huh? What do you say?
I love it. That'll be great. Yeah. Michael Porter versus Kevin Durant and Nikola Jokic versus some smaller guards. Let's do it. Let's do it. I love it.
And Faku versus DeAndre.
Oh yes, let's go.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys. See you. Nugget trivia, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, zvonce, stisnite like, share, komentar, MySpace, na blogu, u novinama smo sutra, gledajte naš. To je to.